Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, getting you ready for our Survivor exit interview, where I'm about to speak with the latest player voted out of Survivor in last night's Wild Tribal Council. So before we get to today's exit interview, we're going to play a short promo for one of the other shows you could hear here on Podcast One. It's the Bret Easton Ellis podcast, back on Podcast One. And then it's my exit interview with the latest eliminated Survivor.
Okay, I'm talking to Bret Easton Ellis fans right now. Admit it, it's you.
Ah!
Now, we know you're out there because since he went on his little hiatus, you've been bombarding us with emails. Where's Bret? Where's Bret? Where's Bret? Well, guess what? You win. Bret Easton Ellis is coming back to Podcast One. But this time, it's commercial free, which should make you even happier. Just go to podcastone.com/Bret and subscribe to the all-new commercial-free Bret Easton Ellis podcast. Podcastone.com/Bret, B-R-E-T.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back here with our Survivor exit interview, and should be a good one today. Shireen is going to be our guest here on the exit interview podcast. She was eliminated last night, voted out in a extremely exciting tribal council. Looked like Mike was going to play the idol for her. He was bluffing. He did not. Ultimately, Dan ended up picking up two votes, and we had a very exciting level one tribal council last night, and we have so much to get into with Shireen, of course, that she has been at the center of so much of the drama going on inside the game, but affecting a lot of people in lots of ways outside of the game. Going to have so much to get to with Shireen coming up here today. Of course, last night, Stephen Fishback and I broke down last night's tribal council and the episode at large, and so much to talk about in that show. Thought we had a really fun conversation. So, of course, you could check that out on robisawebsite.com. Then later on today, I'm going to bring in the two-time winner of Survivor, Sandra Diaz-Twine, will be my guest, and we will have plenty to discuss. And I think that Sandra is a great guest to have in, because I felt like Shireen was going to be potentially like a Sandra here in this post-merge game. So it'll be interesting to hear what Sandra thinks of how Shireen played the game. That's coming up later on today. I'll have that posted probably later on tonight, hopefully a little bit earlier so I can get into some of this NFL draft tonight. And so also in that podcast, I'm going to have David Bloomberg on, formerly of Reality News Online. He was the founder of that site. He had been covering Survivor all the way from the beginning, had all these great articles about why so-and-so lost and what survivors should have learned by this point. So he really knows the game inside and out. We're going to talk with him back here on the podcast. We did a show earlier in the season, or right before the season started, about what Worlds Apart survivors should know about the game. And we're going to talk with him. Get your voicemails in at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RAHAP. And then after I talk with Shireen, we're going to bring Jordan back and talk about this week in Survivor history. But I see that we have Shireen here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Shireen, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Shireen, oh my God. Shireen, you were my pick. Now you're here. We got a million things to get into, so I'm going to go on offense, and let's just get into this. First thing we got to know, I know everybody wants to know, how are you doing after everything that you went through on the island, and then now we're experiencing it again, and then on top of that, now hearing all these things that people are saying in confessionals, are you doing okay?
Rob, I am doing amazingly well.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you. You dinged us.
I'm dinging you, Rob.
Whoa.
Deal with it. It's happening.
Yes.
Lay it on me.
All right. Well, but in all seriousness, I know a lot of people were very affected by the episodes the last couple of weeks. I'm sure you had to have been too. So what is your emotional state going through this for the second time?
Yes. It was difficult for me to watch the last episode. I knew it was coming. And fortunately, I was with friends and loved ones. Mike, Sierra, Jen, Haley were all with me, and we cried through it. We laughed through it, and the healing process can now begin. Seeing last night's episode was actually just a whole lot of fun, because I actually had a ton of fun my last couple of days there. The worst of it had been over, and I'm really happy that CBS is showing all this stuff. They're not sweeping these issues under the rug, and we're able to turn it into a positive.
Okay. let's get into this tribal council and we'll talk about, everything as much as we can here. But as far as this tribal council goes, did you know what Mike was planning on doing when he pulls out the idol, or were you blindsided in that as well?
Yeah. So actually after the will attack had happened and Mike, Jen and I went back to that cave and had our emotional moment, Mike told me and Jen that he had the idol. And okay. That was when the game entirely changed and it became not just about me, but one of the three of us had to win. So I knew that he had the idol. And then before last night's tribal, when nobody was going to flip with us, Mike said to me that he had something up his sleeve. So I knew it was coming and I knew that I had to sell my surprise. And I knew that I had to sell, that he was really going to play it for me. And I knew that I was still going to go home anyway. I knew he wasn't going to play it for me. But the fact that we got two people to actually switch their votes to Dan, best possible case, and Team Shireen is still in it, there are cracks that have been shown.
Good job. But was there any convincing of Mike to say, once you knew he had the idol and you knew what he was going to do and you knew he was going to bluff, was there a sales job to Mike of like, but Mike, if you keep me in the game, you and I can do this together? Was there any, did you try to convince Mike to actually play the idol?
We had talked about it a little bit about whether he would be willing to play the idol for me. And the thing is, we would have needed to know that at least one other person were with us. Otherwise, the numbers don't add up, right? Like, he'd save me for that one, but if he doesn't win immunity next week, he is gone. So we're at a point in the game where this idol, like, playing the idol for me, doesn't turn the whole game around in his favor. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he does need to keep it selfishly for himself.
And did you guys have any suspicions about the vote double that Dan has?
We had no idea.
Got it. Well, after Mike makes his pitch at Tribal Council in this episode, Steven and I were talking about, was there more that we didn't see of, does Tyler say to the group, hey, everybody, call their bluff? Or does anybody say anything that we didn't get to see in the episode?
Oh, my gosh. It was so exciting because as soon as Mike did that, everybody was shocked. The jury was flipping out. And then Jeff comes in and puts us in lockdown in the most serious Jeff way that I'd ever seen in my life. He's like, everybody lock it down right now. Don't look at each other. And we went straight into the vote. And, Mike and I had shit-eating grins on our faces and I was allowed to look at whoever I wanted. And I was, kind of cackling and then I skipped my way down the voting aisle. But yeah, no, everybody was required to just get quiet right away, look straight forward, and go straight into the vote.
Okay. There's been so much talk in when we're looking at the strategy of the season, what needs to happen. And we've been sort of lumping Dan and Sierra together as a pair. Are they actually a pair in this game, or are they just two people who were from the same original alliance but are playing independently?
At this point, they are a pair. They're voting together, but, strategically and personality-wise, they couldn't be more different from each other. Sierra is this beautiful, amazing person. She's lovely. She's so kind. Everybody loves her. But the problem with her is nobody's giving her credit for any of these moves. And Dan is actually referring to her openly as he was calling her a beaten housewife. And he was saying that, he even called her the house cat, like the dog at times, right? Like a good dog. She does what she's told. She doesn't fight back and she just takes shit. And it was disgusting. Right. Therein lies the primary difference between Dan and Sierra. Sierra is a beautiful person. And I think Dan was quite misguided.
And did Sierra hear this stuff? I know that her and Dan had issues earlier in the season, but they do appear to be, functioning in a civil way at this point, whereas earlier in the season, Sierra was openly campaigning to get Dan out.
Yeah, he wasn't saying that in front of her face. He was saying it behind her back. It did come back to her. I think she knew that people were saying that about her, but at the end of the day, maybe she was assuming that that they were saying those things to rile us up or to give us hope or whatever, but that in fact, these people didn't feel that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't even speculate, but, But no, she knew that if they were saying those things, but at the end of the day, they were voting together, and that's what really counts in Survivor.
Now, Shireen, I thought you handled your exit with a lot of class and grace going out, but I saw something that I don't really recall seeing too many times before in Survivor, where after the votes are read, everybody that voted clapped. And I thought that was a odd thing to see at a tribal council. And Rodney appeared to be the most vocal and, had a lot of gloating on your way out. Did you notice that at the time? Did it affect you?
I thought it was hilarious that I was this down and out person with no power in the game, and yet I had such a huge impact on these people that they are applauding me leave. Like, wow, like so big is my footprint that I get an applause. Great. I think in large part they were also applauding that, the release of, Mike's ploy not working. But that it was still a good play that they could appreciate, and that, I'm finally leaving. It was rude, but I laughed it off. I had a great time. You could see that I was, probably are Jen and I the only people in Survivor history who were voted out literally laughing and smiling while Jeff is snuffing our torch? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to that scene with Will from last week's episode. And I know that it really, spurned so much discussion, in Survivor fans and on the internet and all sorts of places about what happened with you and Will. Could you just talk a little bit about, like, was that just the tip of the iceberg, or was basically everything that happened there in the show?
Yeah, no, but actually it had started at the tribe swap. Will never liked me. He wouldn't look at me. He wouldn't talk to me. At the merge, he started having mini blow-ups at me and started, talking about how I don't have a soul and that kind of thing. And so the attacks started getting personal. And he was, he was always trying to question my integrity and say that I was untrustworthy because I don't have a soul. And then the blow-up happened. And what you saw on TV, it was the tip of the iceberg. It was a lot worse than that. It went on for, I would say, like 20 minutes, and it was an assault.
Can I ask a question about that you don't have a soul? Is that a religious thing, or is that you're a mean person, and is that where that comes from?
I don't think it had to do with being mean. And it's weird. Like, I approached Will a couple times during the game before he blew up at me, obviously, where I said, "Hey, I get the feeling you don't like me. Can we talk about it? Can we work through this?" And he always said, "It's in your head. Get out of your head. You're always in your head." And so he just wouldn't have that conversation with me. I can never, understand. I don't understand what it means to not have a soul. I couldn't even, I have no comprehension there. But if I were to speculate, I do think it's coming from a deeper place of discrimination. I don't know what kind of discrimination, but it was, my ethnicity, my religion, all those things were known out there. And I'm not Christian, and I am Middle Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Now, during that, verbal assault, it was Mike that ended up coming to your rescue. Did you feel like was that strategy on Mike's part, or did you just feel like that was an act outside of the game?
In that moment, it was definitely outside of the game. Like, what was going on in that moment was so above and beyond the game I think, Mike just kicked into gear and was like, "What the heck is happening here?" The save, I wish you could also see, it was such a beautiful thing for me in my life to see this man like yelling from off in the jungle, "Shireen, I'm coming to save you!" And that was actually the first moment that I almost started to cry during the attack. And so Mike, then gets into camp, gets me out of there. And I think for him, he was being a really good person. I think it also happens to work strategically for him against the other people because, everybody there knows that what happened was wrong. Everybody. And I think some of them are just giant wusses and cannot say the words out loud that it was wrong. And I think Mike puts them all to shame. And, look at the jury right now. The jury are the no callers who are good people who respect that. And it just so happens to also be strategically good that he did that.
Now, when you had the opportunity then to deprive Will of getting his letter, there was definitely some talk over whether was that something that was a premeditated decision on your part, or was it spur of the moment of, you know, he did this to me, now I have the chance to do something to him. Well, what was it in your mind, if you can recall your thought process at that point?
Yep, I remember it. I thought about it, and I thought, is this going to be good gameplay for me or not? And ultimately what I decided was, and this comes back to victim psychology, if I lay over and die and let Will have these letters, then the people who are victimizing me and the people who are bullying me are going to think even worse of me. They're going to come back to camp and say, yeah, she didn't have it in her to stand up to us because she is nothing and we will now treat her even worse. Right. Whereas the few people who were marginally on my side or who were open to me, those people, you know, I had the potential to inspire them and to make them proud of me. And Sierra and Mike and Jen were so proud of me for raising my hand. That was the moment when I won over Mike and Sierra's jury vote. And so, and that means that I'm actually a jury contender, because that means I'd have the three no-caller jury votes, I'd have Mike's jury vote, and I'd have Sierra's jury vote. And so it was absolutely strategic. Had Will treated me like a human being, you know, there also would have been a compassionate angle to this, and I also would have shown him the compassion of giving him his letters. And putting my money where my mouth is, right, it's not like Dan or Rodney or those other people treated me all that well either, and yet I got every single one of them a loved one's letter. I'm the one who at the auction said, hey, you know, we can all do this $20 thing and everybody can get a letter. Or I could have just let them fight it out and let one or two people win the letters for $400. No, I made sure everybody got their letter except for Will.
Okay. When you voted last night, you said about Tyler, just sit there and look pretty. Was that about Tyler, or was that he told his alliance to not do anything?
It was all of the things. So Tyler's catchphrase in the game from day one was just sit there and look pretty. Like, we get, you know, we finally get Flint to make fire, and he actually like slaps the flint out of my hand, takes it away from me and says, just sit there and look pretty. I've got it. And then proceeds to almost break the flint. And so it was like a nag at him for having that be his sort of, you know, marginally sexist catchphrase. And I want to be clear, he and I are good now, and he's, you know, he's a good person. I don't think he understood how offensively he was behaving towards me, but he was. And it just so happened, you know, ironically, to be the case that was also his gameplay. No, pause, don't act, don't do anything, it's too early. You know, all the things that Jeff is constantly saying, if you're saying it's too early, it's too late. So that's why I said, just sit there and look pretty.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what I aim to do also, Shireen. So we'll see if how well I'm not doing it that well. So Shireen, I've got a million more questions for you, but I just don't have enough time. So I know you got to go.
No!
You got to go.
Robert, too!
Yes. All right. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon sometime. Who knows when, but Shireen, all the best to you and your cousin.
Thanks so much.
All right.
And my cousin says hello.
Right.
Mike says hello.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Shireen. Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Shireen here on the podcast. And I know I said with Jen last week that we needed not 15 minutes, 15 hours. And, you know, that's certainly the case again here with Shireen. So happy to hear Shireen is doing well. And, you know, I'm sure at some point down the road, God knows when, we'll get to catch up, hopefully, with Shireen a bit more. All right, let's switch gears and bring in a guy that we didn't talk to him last week. So I know he's going to be very worked up. He's going to have a lot to talk about. Here he is, the chief researcher here on Rob as a Podcast, talking about what happened on This Week in Survivor History. Here is Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Bob, how's it going? And that's a new pronunciation, Kalish.
Jordan Kalish, correct?
Kalish, yes.
Jordan Kalish?
Yeah, that's Kalish. It's a little bit of an accent. I sound French. It's very fancy.
Yeah, it's very distinguished.
Yeah, and I like the new title of chief researcher. That sounds very good.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. All right. So, Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
What happened last week? Is it still a hangover from when you were acting weird 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago, you know what? I was having a sleepover. A bunch of my bros were over here. We were having a patty, and I may have been a little bit distracted, but I think I'm back this week. I took last week off. I had some scheduling conflict, but this week I'm ready to go, and it's going to be another good episode of This Week in Survivor History.
All right, Jordan. Okay, so of course, the calendar is at the end of April, turning into May, so a lot of stuff has happened historically at this time in Survivor History. But before we get to today's This Week in Survivor History segment, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for the Exit Interview podcast, and those are our friends over at Bombas Socks, because Bombas Socks are making fantastic socks for people to wear. I love my Bombas Socks, Jordan. I wear them, and they're my favorite pair of socks that come up in the rotation.
How do I get a pair of Bombas Socks? They sound great.
Well, Bombas Socks, of course, you can get them at bombas.com. That's BOMBAS.com. They are high quality, superior socks. Because a lot of times you buy socks and talk about a strong six. Usually you buy socks in like a big pack, and they're all sort of the same. But not Bombas Socks, because they are sort of individually made. They have all sorts of different, like, you know, bright colors and cool designs. And they're really much higher quality than the stuff you're going to get in the store in a big pack thrown together, because Bombas have dedicated 2 years to engineer socks to stay up, last forever, and feel amazing on your feet. They're the most comfortable pair of socks that you're going to have. And Jordan, they've got a honeycomb stitching that's going to hug your foot, whether you're walking or running or trying to balance on a barrel. You're going to feel great.
Oh, that's great. And that's something that sometimes you need to do.
Yeah.
You need to balance on that barrel.
All right. To know what I'm talking about, you got to try on a pair for yourself. But not only is Bombas Socks going to make you feel great, but also they're going to do something nice for people at homeless shelters, because socks, Jordan, are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. So for every pair of Bombas Socks that you purchase, they're also going to donate one pair to a person at a homeless shelter. So right now, for a limited time, you could get 20% off your order at Bombas Socks, your first order. Get free shipping. Go to bombas.com/RHAP. Go ahead and check it out. 20% off the most comfortable socks on the planet and a pair for someone in need. Go to bombas.com/RHAP. That's BOMBAS.com/RHAP. Jordan, this week in Survivor History, where are we going?
This week in Survivor History, I promised the patrons I was going to talk about this episode from last week in Survivor History. And of course, we didn't get to it. So I am going to give it to you. And this is a great episode. This is Survivor Fiji, April 19th, 2007. So 8 years ago, last Sunday. So actually 2 Sundays ago at this point. And this is the episode where we have the Four Horsemen Alliance, which includes Alex, Mookie, Edgardo, and Dreams. And Dreams, of course, ends up flipping on them, and Edgardo goes home.
Yes. Yes. What a great moment in Survivor History when the Four Horsemen flopped. If I recall correctly from that, it was sort of like that Dreams got caught in a lie, right? That he got sort of like busted by Earl and Cassandra, and then he sort of just sold everybody out.
Yes, well, he was kind of playing a double agent, where he was telling Earl and Cassandra that I think he said at first that Mookie was going to play the idol, when in fact Alex was actually going to play the idol. But he didn't even know about his alliance's immunity idol until this episode, which is really what started all the problems.
Well, they had the idol, and the whole thing was that, you know, Alex and Edgardo had the whole thing of like, okay, whatever you do, don't tell Dreams about this. Don't tell Dreams we have the idol. And of course, then Mookie is the one that like, hey Dreams, just so you know, we have the idol. And
yeah, Mookie blew it. And then when Edgardo found out about it, he was so mad. And they told him on the boat, I thought he was going to jump off the boat and swim away. He was not happy that Mookie told them about this idol. And Alex wasn't very happy either.
Yeah. And then there's the scene where Dreams gets caught, and then like Earl and Cassandra sort of like corner him. And we talk about this on Evolution of Strategy this summer, but it's almost like that Dreams is like the like grounded teenager, and his mom and his dad like bust him, and they're like punishing him. And he's like trying like, no, it wasn't me, mom. I wasn't doing it. It was the other guys. They were trying to get me. And he's almost like a Chunk when he gets caught in the Goonies. Hey, anything you want to know? Yeah.
Did anyone do the truffle shuffle in this episode?
Dreams did, I think. Dreams did.
Dreams did. Shuffle. But what about Boo? Boo could have done the truffle shuffle.
Yeah, he certainly could have. He certainly could have. So plenty more Survivor Fiji memories coming this summer to Rob's podcast.
Yes, I'm looking forward to listening to that. But this is a really great episode where no one really, even though Dreams is coming to Yao and Earl and Cassandra with this information, they still don't trust Dreams because they don't let him in on the fact that they are, and this was actually Stacey Kimball's idea, that they're going to vote for Edgardo.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Dreams did flip on the alliance and he did tell them this information, it was a smart move on their part not to let Dreams in on this, just in case he was going to go right back to the Four Horsemen and then let them know that the plan was to vote Edgardo and not for Alex or Mookie.
Well, not dissimilar from this season when Rodney brought Will into the Blue Collar Alliance and Mike wanted to test Will and told him that everybody was going to vote for Haley when they were really putting their votes on Jen.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I mean, I think in Fiji, there was more of a reason to do this because Dreams was an untrustworthy guy. There was really no reason for Yao and Cassandra to trust Jim just because he seemed so tight with the four horsemen group. But I guess it's a similar thing that if somebody may or may not be flipping to their alliance, you really have to test them before you could completely trust them.
Remember when Mike had all the power this season and was telling people what to do?
I know, it's just a couple weeks ago. We were calling this Mike's alliance. It was Mike's alliance. Mike
last
versus Joe.
Month
it was like
in Survivor history.
Joe, yeah, yeah, exactly. Mike versus Joe was like Pacquiao versus Mayweather.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So Jordan, so bring us up to date, bring us up to current. What about this week in Survivor history?
This week in Survivor history, and this is one of my favorite scenes in the history of Survivor. This is Survivor Exile Island, April 27, 2006. We're going 9 years ago this past Monday, and I can't believe that Survivor Exile Island was 9 years ago. But this is Shane Powers' Rock Blackberry.
Oh, the Rock Blackberry. The Rock Blackberry is so dated now. Nobody would have a Rock Blackberry anymore. Nobody would have a regular Blackberry anymore. That's how dated this is.
No, the Rock Blackberry has gone the way of the Rock iPod Shuffle.
Yes.
And yeah, so
that's how far we've come, Jordan. Where back in what year was that? 2006?
2006.
Back in 2006, you could pretend to use a Rock as a Blackberry. Today, people pretend to use a Blackberry as a Rock. It's like, oh, I need an extra Rock around to put on my papers. Oh, there's that Blackberry. Let me just,
you know what, it would make a good paperweight. It's like the correct size, the correct shape for a paperweight.
It's really perfect. That Shane Powers just has a garden at his house. That Bruce has actually turned his Rock garden. And he's come to Shane Powers and he's made a whole Blackberry garden, and then Courtney Merritt comes over and does yoga there.
Yeah, you better stay out of Bruce's Rock garden. And,
I just spent all day on this Blackberry garden, and now Courtney, why does Courtney have to do yoga in this Blackberry garden I made at Shane's house?
I don't know. This is not a good episode. Not a good episode in Survivor history for Courtney Merritt because she's the one who ends up going home.
It's probably the reason why is probably because Courtney probably has a crappy apartment. That's what Shane told me.
That's true, and that was this episode as well. There was an argument over whether Courtney had a shitty apartment. And was this ever settled? Have you ever been to Courtney's apartment?
I've never been to Courtney's apartment, but I would probably hazard to guess that she did indeed have a crappy apartment. I would guess that.
Would you guess zero or one earbud? It's definitely not a two earbud apartment. Guess, is it zero or one?
I would guess Courtney has a zero earbud apartment.
I'd agree. And back to Shane, though. I love the fact that when he's using the Blackberry, he's sitting on what he likes to call Shane's thinking chair, which is really that he claimed earlier in the season that no one else was allowed to sit on. And he was making phone calls and sending texts to his son, Boston, which is really probably the last thing that I would ever name my son as a New York sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
But great episode for Shane. Great episode for the viewers of Survivor because it was so entertaining. And I hope to hopefully see Shane again one day.
Okay, we will see. Jordan, fantastic job this week. You sound like you're back on your game this week.
Oh yeah, back in my game after that patron cast last night, calling from my car. I'm back at home, back on the couch, and talking Survivor history.
All right, there we go, Jordan. All right, next week we'll be back with us. Looking forward to it. Take care, buddy.
All right, have a good night.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor history on Rob is a podcast. All right, I'm going to go get set. We are going to speak with Sandra later on, and then we're going to do our voicemails with David Bloomberg. So get your voicemails in at robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Going to do those voicemails in the next couple hours. So probably the cutoff on the voicemails is going to be about 4 p.m. Eastern today. So a little bit earlier on the voicemails. And then I've got another treat for you guys who are Big Brother Canada watchers. I am going to have our first ever Big Brother Canada exit interview to speak with the person who got eliminated from Big Brother Canada on Wednesday night. So look for that coming on Thursday evening, afternoon on RHAP. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robinswebsite.com/iTunes, or subscribe with our app at robinswebsite.com/app. Have a good one, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments about the Shireen interview here, and so much more to come. Take care, everybody. Bye.